إن الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن والاه. وبعد، today in the Tarbiyah series we will talk about the importance of manners, of a pleasant demeanor and good manners. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-Qalam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala specifically mentioned this with regard to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he said, وَإِنَّكَ عَلَىٰ قُلُقٍ عَظِيمٍ. He said, O my Nabi, verily you are on a very high standard of character, a very high standard of manners. In a very famous hadith, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, I have come to teach manners. He said, I have come to teach akhlaq. The purpose of my coming is to teach akhlaq. The purpose of the coming of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is not to teach theological argument. It is not to teach some daqaiq of fiqh. It is to teach manners. In another hadith, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, your iman is not complete until you want for your brother what you want for yourself. It's a conditional statement. He said, the iman is not complete until you want for your brother what you want for yourself. Now, question is, what are good manners? I'm not going to list specifically every single thing, but just the structure, how do we decide what is good and what is not good? Good manners is to have consideration for other people. It is as simple as that. Just one statement or one line. Who is the person who has the best manners? The one who is most considerate about other people. And this is expressed in every aspect of our lives. Anytime you come into contact with another person or anytime you are in a situation where some other people might be affected, what do you do? Do you consider them? Do you think about them or not? When you come into the masjid, do you just walk in and start your salah? Not worried, not concerned about whether you are blocking somebody else's way or what you are doing. And now other people cannot pass because you are standing in the middle. It is an issue of good manners. Even before that, when you come to the masjid, where do you park your car? It's a matter of good manners. The very dear friend of mine, Bandar Mahmad Al-Mahmadi, Bandar Awad Al-Mahmadi, in Medina. So one day I was staying with Bandar and we were going to the Haram. So Bandar drives up and then he parks in one of the side streets. So I told him, Sheikh, why don't we go inside? You know, there is parking in the Haram. Underground, enough and more parking, plenty of parking in the Haram. We were going for Jummah. So we parked in the side street, it's hot sun. So I said, you know, why are you parking here? Why don't we go inside? It's much easier to go up into the Haram. He said, no. He said, that is for the people who come from far away, from long distances. He said, we live in Medina, it's our city. This Haram is our house. We leave that space for them. Let them come and go inside and park and comfort. We can walk, no problem. We'll walk from here. Yeah? Imagine, this is something about the people of Medina. Ajib. That is manners. How you drive on the road is manners. How you where you park your car is manners. Where you stand in salah is manners. Saying thank you and saying please is manners. Where do you find this the most? Thank you and please? In the West. In the West. Not here, not in our countries. Ajib. And it is so endearing, it is so nice. I met a 2-year-old the other day. 2 years old. For everything, that's Tarbiyah of the parents. For everything, he will say, please can I have this, please can I have that. And the minute you give him anything, he says, thank you. 2-year-old kid, this big. Manners is consideration for other people. Rasulullah in one hadith, and it was the way of narration of the hadith that the muhaddithin, they preserved not only the words of the hadith, but they also used to narrate the hadith in exactly the same way that Rasulullah narrated the hadith. So in this hadith, the muhaddith would actually hold his tongue in his two fingers. Because the hadith, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, guarantee me this thing. And he held his tongue with his two fingers. And he said, I will guarantee you Jannah. Because what is good manners? Good manners is good speech. Good manners is good speech. He said, I'll guarantee you Jannah. There are so many hadiths. And there are so many stories from the seerah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam's own manners and about the manners of the sahaba ridwanullahi alaihim ajmain. I'm sure we have heard all those stories. It's not my intention to now repeat all those stories, right? The question is not whether you heard the story or not. The question is, do we try to apply that in our lives? That is the issue. Do we try to apply that story in our lives? Anas bin Malik radiallahu anhu was a servant of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. One of his greatest sahaba, narrated a lot of hadith from Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He had the honor after Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam passed away until his last day. He used to see Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in his dream every single night. Every night. And this Anas bin Malik said, I served Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam for 10 years. And he said, in those 10 years, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not even frown at me even once. He said, let alone shout at me, or let alone beat me, or let alone curse me. Na'udhu billah, we don't even expect that from the Nabi. But he said, he did not even, and he said, I was a boy, I did many things, I listened to him, I disobeyed him, I mean, not deliberately, but you know, I forgot, or whatever it was, I was involved in some playing or games. Not once did he say, did he even frown at me? Not once did he even tell me, I told you this, what is, nothing. Nothing. Zaid bin Haritha radiallahu anhu was given to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam as a servant by Khadija radiallahu anha. One day Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he was again a young boy. Young boy. He had been sold as a slave in Makkah. So he was given to Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam as a servant. Rasulullah immediately freed him and he adopted him as a son. But he used to work in the house and he used to serve Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. One day Rasulullah gave him some money and told him, go and get something. Now Zaid bin Haritha disappeared. And on the way he found some friends of his, he got involved, they were playing some game, he got involved in the game. Now Rasulullah is waiting, where did his boy go? He waited for a long time, he didn't know, no sign of Zaid. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam went searching for him. So what does he find? He finds Zaid busy in his game. So Zaid then saw him and he came running, and Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam told him what happened. He said, oh, I forgot, I'm very sorry. You got involved in the game. He said, it's okay. Give me the money, I will go and buy the thing. So now Zaid bin Haritha is searching in his pockets and he can't find the money. The money is gone. In the game, coin must have fallen somewhere or something. So now here is this boy who has been told to do something. He didn't do that. He was given money to buy something. He didn't buy the thing. He lost the money. What does Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam do? Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam told him, okay, it's no problem. When your game is finished, come back home. That's him. Eh? And what is the result of that? The result of that is, a couple of years later, Zaid bin Haritha's father and uncle, they heard that their son was seen in Makkah. So the boy was, some people attacked the caravan and they took away this boy and they sold him as well. They didn't know. They were searching for the child. So they heard that his boy is in Makkah. So they came to get back their son. And they came with a lot of money. So they came and they asked around. They said, yeah, he is in the house of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So they came there and they said to Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they said, this is our son and we want to take him back and we will pay you for this. So tell us how much money you want, and you can have the money, and we want our son back. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, he is not my slave. I don't need any money from you for him, and I am very happy if you want to take him. If he wants to go with you, no problem, you can take him. But I suggest you ask him first whether he wants to go with you or not. So now the father and the uncle, they think to themselves, you know, what a strange thing. Why wouldn't he want to go with his own father? Right? So they said, no problem, call him. They called him. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, do you recognize these people? He said, yes, this is my father, this is my uncle. There is no mistaken identity or anything. So Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, they have come to take you back home. Would you like to go with them? He said, no. He said, no. Now these people are astonished. He said, you don't want to come home with? He said, no. You want to stay here in Makkah? Yes. And that is when Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam actually officially adopted Zayd bin Haritha radiallahu anhu, and he took him into the haram, and he announced to the people, he said, he is my son, he is Zayd bin Muhammad. And it's only after the ayat of Suratul Ahzab which came, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala abolished adoption. Allah said there is no adoption in Islam. You can look after an orphan, but the orphan remains as the son of his original biological father, and the orphan will bear the name of the biological father, and you cannot give the orphan your name, and the orphan does not become an heir in your wealth. So all of this came much later, but for many years, Zayd bin Haritha radiallahu anhu used to be known as Zayd bin Muhammad. How did that happen? Young boy working in the house, doesn't even want to go back to his own parents. Manners, akhlaq. The Sahaba learned this lesson so well that there was so many cases where somebody had, among the Arabs, the head of the sheep was a delicacy. So, somebody would have a head of a sheep in the house. They would have slaughtered a sheep and so on. So, what do they do with the delicacy, with the best part? Do they eat it? No, they send it to the neighbor. And there is a recorded incident where this head of the sheep came back to the owner. It came back to the... Why? Because each neighbor kept sending it to the other neighbor, and it came around full circle back to the owner. I mean, I can literally, this is a subject on which we can talk forever. But the problem is that all that talking forever will get us nowhere. This is unfortunately the subject on which we can talk forever, but we don't follow it. We don't follow it. May Allah protect us. Our akhlaq need a lot of work. Our akhlaq need a lot of work. How we treat our parents, our children, our wives, our husbands. How we treat our neighbors. Very, very important. Ibn al-Mubarak, Abdullah ibn Mubarak rahmatullahi alayh, he heard that his neighbor was selling his house. And his neighbor was a Jewish guy. And Abdullah ibn Mubarak heard that his neighbor was selling his house, and he had quoted a price which was double the market value. Twice the market value. So he was very amused. He said, why is this man quoting such a high price? So some prospective buyer came there, and the buyer told him, look, house is good, but your price is twice the market value. I mean, if this, you know, house costs so much, look at the houses in this area. So why are you charging me, or why are you quoting twice the market value? This Jewish guy, he says, do you know who my neighbor is? He said, who's your neighbor? He said, Abdullah ibn Mubarak. He said, my neighbor is Abdullah ibn Mubarak. And that is why the house costs so much. You have to pay to be the neighbor of Abdullah ibn Mubarak. Imagine. May Allah protect us. Today, if a Muslim leaves a place, people will thank Allah. Oh, Alhamdulillah. We are saved. La hawla wala quwwata illa billah. Seriously, this is a matter with regard to tarbiyah, which we have to inculcate in ourselves. And again, as I said, the very first Fajr Remind on tarbiyah, I said, tarbiyah is not about upbringing of your children, tarbiyah is about upbringing of yourself. The children learn the manners of the parents. And so it's not about teaching your children to say please and thank you, it's about you saying please and thank you. It's not about teaching your children to do this and that, it's about you doing this and that. And therefore, over and over, today society is corrupt not because of children. Please understand this very clearly. Society is corrupt not because of children. How many corrupt 5-year-old and 10-year-olds have you found? How many do you find? But you find plenty of corrupt 30-year-olds and 40-year-olds and 50-year-olds and, you know, 70 and 80-year-olds. You find plenty of them. Very corrupt and justifying corruption. Oppressing the world. Not the kids. Not the kids. It is we. We are the cause of the problem. It is not the children. Nothing to do with children. Society is good or bad not because of children. It's good or bad because of people. And that is why, that is the reason why Rasulullah never ran any, he never ran any children's schools. He worked on the adults. Today this also, we have outsourced upbringing to schools. Take the kid, dump him in the school, that's the school's problem. The Maulvi Sahib must come and teach my child how to read Quran. I don't know how to read Quran at the age of 50, 60, 70 and I am not even ashamed about that. But my child will learn the Quran from some Maulvi naturally because if I don't know, I can't teach him. And there is no sense of shame whatsoever about this matter. No, nothing. This is how it should be. And then you say, my children don't respect me. How will your child respect you? The child knows you are ignorant. The child has learnt about the manners of Rasulullah when he was reading his seerah in the maktab or the madrasa. And he comes home and he finds his father who acts like a shaitan. His father's manners are the manners of Abu Jahl. So he is learning about the manners of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam in the maktab. And he comes home and he finds that his father behaves like Abu Jahl. And the mother behaves like the female version of Abu Jahl. Whatever that is. And you expect this child to respect you? How can the child respect you? How will the child respect you? We have to straighten out ourselves. Change our ways, change our manners, change our companions, change the environment in our homes. And then you will not have to worry about children respecting you. I have seen cases, subhanAllah, where the father is treated like by the children, grown-up children, the father has grandchildren, great-grandchildren. And the father is treated by those grown-up sons like, subhanAllah, I mean, ajeeb, like their greatest hero. Like their murshid, like their peer, like the greatest sheikh. That cannot be bought. That cannot be forced. That comes from inside. They treat the father like that because that's how they think of the father. This is the man who taught me Quran. This is the man from anything good I learned from this man. A beautiful series on Hifz, which I sent out on the group also. I'm sure many of you, all of you have seen, inshallah. Where there's this beautiful, beautiful scene of this young boy, Nigerian. He must be maybe 10 years old or something. And his father walking on the beach in the surf. The boy is holding the hand of his father and he is doing his dawr of Hifz. His father is the Imam of the Masjid and he is the Hafiz of the Quran. And his son is learning, is doing Hifz. And they are strolling on the beach. And the son is reciting Quran and the father is listening to him. Can that son ever disobey that father? Can that son ever disrespect the father? People who have children who are disrespectful are people who forgot how they brought them up. Simple as that. No child is born disrespectful. No child is born evil. Nobody. Everyone is born with good. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created us like that. Is what we do with them, is what we teach them. And therefore, we have to change our own ways. إنك لعلى خلق عظيم. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said this about his Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and this should be the ayat for us as the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We must be the people with the best character, which the world looks up to. There was a time in this city in Hyderabad where people used to, where the non-Muslims, the Hindus used to say, Musalmanon ke bachchon ke adab sabse achhe rehte bolte. Both adab ke bachche rehte. The children of Muslims are the children with best manners. People used to say, we were famous for the manners of our children. Others used to appreciate this. The idea is not, I'm not trying to, you know, beat us up. No, my point is that this was our situation. So, what's so difficult about changing it? Nothing difficult about changing it. We just have to change ourselves. We have to change ourselves. So, let us focus on this. The whole point of this Tarbiyah series is for us to look at all the different things that we need to focus on and bring about these changes. Not simply to listen to the reminders and go home, no. Bring about those changes. So make an intention to change one thing. And the best thing to begin with is to thank. So thank anyone that you receive anything good from. Your wife or the servant in the house who cooks for you, they cook something good, make it a point to tell them that specifically. Ye khana bahut accha hai bol ke aap bolo zara, muh kholo. Kharab raha to bolte. Uske waste muh kholna bol ke targhib dene ki zarurat nahi rehti, muh khule chalta hamesha. So if something is bad, then you know immediately we criticize. Nobody has to remind us to criticize. So start with that, thank. Whoever it is, whatever it is, start with that. Begin with thanking. Thank you very much. You will feel, you'll find expressions of shock on the face of the other people. Let them be shocked, no problem. Right? If the fellow falls down in a dead faint, you can revive him after that. Why did you faint? Oh, because you thanked me, you know. How did this happen? Thank anybody anywhere. Let's begin with that, inshallah. Then next day we go and say, please, don't just grab things, and so on and so on. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless us with the noor of the akhlaq. The biggest benefit of this thing is, the reward is instantaneous. What Allah will give in Jannah is different, inshallah. We ask Allah for that. But the reward of good behavior, the reward of good manners is immediate, instantly. You smile at someone, they smile back at you. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, smiling is sadaqah. Imagine. Smiling is sadaqah. He said, afsush salam. He said, spread salam. Say salam alaikum, say spread salam. Everywhere in the world, wherever you go, greet people. Spread peace, spread salam. Just to smile is sadaqah. But sometimes you want to see somebody's teeth, you got to take him to a dentist. You know, I mean, it's like, it's a great... How can I smile? Especially the ones who I, you know, my newly religious, newly Muslim. I have this differentiation. There's a new Muslim and there's a newly Muslim. New Muslim is the guy who just reverted. But newly Muslim is the Muslim who just discovered that he's Muslim. Yeah, so they become religious. They were in a disco until last night. This morning they have the beginnings of a beard because they decided they're not going to shave. But then along with that, they have this tremendous, you know, funereal expression on their face, and they've got a permanent bad smell under the nose. They won't smile, they won't say anything, and all they have, they know only one word in the entire Islamic dictionary, and that word is haram. La hawla wa la quwwata. This is deen? This is deen? Deen is to suddenly become nasty? I've heard this about so many people. अरे अच्छा खासा था, क्या होगा इसको बोलते लोग. Just he used to be smiling and laughing and joking and everything was nice and you know, he's a good friendly guy and approachable. Suddenly now, out of the blue, because he became religious, now he has become an horrible monstrosity. You can't talk to him, you can't say anything to him. If you smile, you feel guilty if you smile. Oh, this is not deen, boss. Please understand, this is not deen. This is not the deen of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Maybe it is your deen. It's not the deen of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to smile, he used to laugh, people used to joke with him, he used to joke with them. A sahabi is standing in the marketplace, and this is the Nabi of Allah, this is the king of the time. A sahabi is standing in the marketplace, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam went and held him and he shut his eyes. And he says, who wants to buy this slave? And the sahabi moves backwards so that he is completely, you know, to get Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam to hug him. He is moving backwards into the body of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Ajib. I mean, this looks like the behavior of a king. Looks like the behavior of the Rasul of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But that was his behavior. Why do you think they loved him so much? Why do you think that their takya kalam, the thing that they said after everything, may my mother and father be sacrificed on you, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They loved him that much because he was so nice to them. He was so nice to them. And to the smallest of them, there was an African lady who used to sweep the masjid. And Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam didn't see her one day. So he said, where is that lady? They said, Ya Rasulullah, she died in the night and we didn't want to disturb you. So we completed everything and we buried her. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam got very angry. He said, why didn't you tell me? He said, why didn't you tell me? He said, show me the grave. He went and stood on the grave and he made dua for this lady. This lady was not the head of any kabila, she was not Arab, she was nobody at all. Some poor African lady, she used to come and clean the masjid, she used to sweep the masjid. That's it. Now, if he was like that with her after she passed away, what must have been his behavior with that lady every day? Do you think he said salam alaikum to her or not? How many salam of the Nabi that woman would have received? Farak hai nahi hamare salam bolne mein aur Nabi ke salam bolne mein. So many incidents. If I start on this, there's no end to this. The key is to bring it into our lives. To bring these akhlaq into our lives. That is the issue. Not just talk about them. So specially make an effort. And I said, it all begins with one very simple thing, which is consideration. One word. What is good manners? Good manners is consideration. Period. The entire subject of good manners can be condensed into one single word. And that word is consideration. That's it. So let us try to consciously practice this. Be considerate when you are driving on the road, when you are walking in the house, when you are sitting, you are standing with people, anywhere. Let us be considerate of others. And if we make a mistake, apologize immediately. There is no dishonor in apologizing. Please understand it. It is the best thing to do because it finishes that fitna right there. If you don't apologize and if you insist on something, it only becomes worse and worse and worse. If you apologize, it puts your love and it puts respect for you in the hearts of the people who criticized you in the first place. Immediately apologize. And what is wrong? I mean, we are not perfect. We will make mistakes. Somebody points out a mistake, alhamdulillah. The matter is contained there. If that person did not point out that mistake, maybe now I would make the same mistake in front of 10,000 people. And I would become a laughing stock of 10,000 people. Now it happened between 10 people. Alhamdulillah, let it stay here. And what's the way of making it stay here? Immediately, I am extremely sorry. I apologize. Please forgive me. Khalas. Now he can't go and talk to anybody else. Because if he tells the story, then he also has to tell the story that I apologized. Then people will tell him, if you already apologized, why are you telling me this? You took the wind out of his sails. I mean, you know. But if you didn't apologize, that story will travel. It will travel the whole world. So, good manners begin with consideration. So let us do that, inshallah. And we follow the Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam in following of the sunnah. The sunnah is not only the beard. The sunnah is not only the head covering. The sunnah is not only the trouser above the ankles. All of these are important sunan. When I'm saying not only, does not mean that these are not important. We are not deriding them. These are extremely important. But it is not only that. It is much more than that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made the whole life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam as an example for us. And that life consists of his manners. For which he said, I have been sent for this, to teach people manners. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala praised his manners. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us a reflection of the manners of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And to make the noor of those manners, to make the barakah of those manners a part of our lives. And to make us, inshallah, examples of good behavior and good manners for others. وصلى الله على نبي الكريم وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين.